Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wunstead with us in studio. And we are ready to talk about the Chicago Bears. Dave, they have Washington this week. Yep. The number one quarterback against the number two drafted quarterback. The game has been flexed, but lo and behold, a rib injury for Jaden Daniels. And it was interesting to hear yesterday Dan Quinn come out and say, well, he's week to week, and we're hopeful, but we're also going to do the wise thing with him.
Yeah, his mother put out a tweet that he's fine, you know.
So Dr. Mom.
What does week to week mean, though, Dave?
That's not day to day. What'd you hear when he says week to week?
I think it was just the word that he used. You know, I think he's saying is, well, let's see how he is in practice this week, and then we'll go from there. But I think he'll play. You know, here
you do.
I do think he'll play. Here's the thing that you don't know with these rookies. You know, we don't have a – now, he is a baller. He is a street tough guy. I know that. But, you know, when these NFL guys get their first injuries or two and we don't have a real history of how they respond. You know, there's some guys that you just knew that he would come in and he would have a knocked-on shoulder or whatever. This guy's going to play through it. You know what I mean?
He's thin and slight, and he's got a rib injury going against a – top five defense.
I'm telling you, I don't know how he's going to respond. We're going to see. But how it would affect him as compared to a Jared Goff is that his legs are a very important part of mm-hmm. what he does as a quarterback. So the point is, even if he plays, you know, they'll numb those ribs up. I mean, if it's just cartilage, I mean, that won't be a problem.
Okay.
What? I'm serious.
I know. David is saying that he will kick sand on the guy's face at the beach. That's
no,
what you
I'm
just
not saying.
Said.
But, you know, he does look kind of slight.
He does, but this guy's a street guy. This guy's a tough guy.
This is a franchise quarterback we're talking about here. And they're in a playoff
ribs.
Race.
It's ribs.
It's a rib, though. He's got to throw.
They
and
are
runs.
Delicious, they depending are delicious. On the sauce.
They are. They're so good.
I'm surprised to hear you say you expect him to play this early in the week when we just heard Dan Quinn kind of meh
yeah.
and ambiguous.
I'm going to believe his mother more than Dan Quinn. Are you kidding me? His mother said he's fine. And he was out there waving a towel the second half. That doesn't look like a guy that's got broken ribs and is all taped up.
Defensively, did the Bears prepare any differently?
No. No, absolutely not. You know, I mean, I don't think he'll be, you know, you don't know. That's I guess, what I'm trying to say is the unknown here in this type of injury and how the guy's going to respond to it. Everybody handles it a little bit differently, you know, and the movement is a big part of his game. Do the Bears prepare differently? No. You got to be prepared to contain him, keep him in the pocket, you know. But his passing now, you know, he's at the top of the list of all rookie quarterbacks by far as touchdowns and yardage and completion percentage and everything. So we'll see. But, you know, this is an interesting game when you think about it because you got Caleb going back home,
yes.
right? Gonzaga yeah. High School, right across, right at yep. the train station. I've been there. I recruited kids out of there. You got DJ Moore, who played at Maryland.
Good connection.
Yep.
Right? DJ Moore yeah. is right. from the stadium there. He's probably – 2 hour, maybe an hour drive. I mean, he's right there. He would be considered a local
guy. A lot of Terp
guy,
fans.
Right?
But he's a Philly guy.
He's a Philly guy, but a lot of Terp fans. Okay. Good connection, Dave.
And then you got Sweat coming back, right?
Montez Sweat.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I like in the Bears' favor as
Don't
far
forget.
As an extra little shot in the arm of wanting to go back there and play really good football.
Shane Waldron versus Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, there
the
you go.
The one you hired and the one you ignored.
About him, Dave, about Cliff Kingsbury. We talked a little bit about him yesterday and the fact that he played for Mike Leach in the air raid offense, and that he likes to get things spread a little bit. They like to have a running back on the same side that the quarterback runs to. They can throw a screen off that. They have a receiver that lines up. McLaren lines up on the right about 90% of the time if you watch them play, and they have kind of a student rolling right, you know, the old play like that. I'm wondering, as a defensive guy, as you're worrying about space and about running ability, how do you handle, do you have to sort of mush rush him? They always worry about getting beyond him, and then all of a sudden he's cutting underneath and you're down a man, and there are problems. How do you effectively pass rush against a guy with that sort of running ability?
Let's assume he's healthy. If he's healthy and playing, which I think he will be, he won't be healthy, but I think he'll be playing. You got to be concerned about him scrambling and making plays. So you have to, we used to always say, let's try to make this guy throw the ball on time, okay? Where he can't extend plays, and whatever coverage we're in, our guys behind us know that if it's going to be, the ball's coming out in 3 seconds, that's where we got to really be tight on our coverage. So when you get a quarterback like this, you're really not saying sack, sack, sacks as much as contain them, throw it on time. Contain it, throw it on time. Get the ball out. And I think that'll be the plan. And the Bears do a nice job. I mean, they got veteran guys at the right spots, you know, all across that defense, really. And that secondary, you know, they do a nice job of disguise and stuff, which is going to be another problem for this young quarterback, for any quarterback. If you got an experienced safety that can go from man to zone and two deep to three deep and so forth and so on, that's going to cause them to hold the ball a little bit longer. So, and I like the Bears. I think the combination of all those things that we've been talking about, personnel, people, experienced, just a better team. The Bears are a better, you know, why is Washington where they're at right now? Basically one guy, you know, in my opinion.
The quarterback?
The quarterback.
All the way.
Right? And
offensive line's pretty good, Dave.
They are, and what do they say? What they always
running backs
say,
are pretty good.
They are. What'd they say about Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan, they used to always say, a player like Jordan makes everybody around him play at a higher level, right? That's how you can say, is this guy a good player? A good player can play good, but it doesn't really affect the guy next to him. A great player, all of a sudden, guys around him start playing better. You know what I mean? And everybody's play goes up. I think that's what's going on in Washington.
The natural question would be then, with Jaden Daniels playing as well as he has so far, so soon and so well, do you rethink it all about, did the Bears get the right guy?
No. Oh, I'm sold on Caleb. No, just Caleb gets it. Caleb gets it.
They didn't even talk to Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, Caleb, what do you want more out of Caleb? Nothing. I mean, the guy has been fantastic. He gets it. He's smart. He's a team guy. I mean, it's a home run here, you know, with Caleb.
I agree with that, but it comes up.
I'll tell you guys, go through position by position. You know, maybe the offensive line, David, you mentioned, maybe you want to give them a little bit of a nudge, but our group has gotten better. But as far as defensive line and secondary and receivers, you know, we're a better team. We're a better team, and, now you got to go play.
Carolina's a bad team. Let's be honest about it. But Marcus Mariota came in, and they ran the exact same offense. They did similar things that they've been doing with Jaden Daniels, with Marcus Mariota. How do you define his ability? I mean, he has a similar skill set.
Yes, he does.
But obviously, he's not as good as Daniels. But he seemed to raise. They scored 40 points or whatever it was. I mean, they had no problem whatsoever. Is that? Do you look at that as the right guy who is a backup within that system, or do you look at it as, boy, Carolina's mediocre?
No, you know what? That's a good point. Because Marcus Mariota, for winning the Heisman and, you know, what they did at Oregon is what he's doing now. They were a true RPO run-pass option team, and that just never really materialized much in the NFL. And then he always had a problem as a backup because teams that were drop back and play action, he didn't really fit that, you know? So I think he's in the perfect spot, to be quite honest with you. They don't change a play. I mean, this is what Mario – this is going back to his – what he did in college to what he did best. And so I
– So you're defending them the same way regardless of what –
Absolutely. Just not as fast, you know, or probably as accurate. You know, I really haven't studied Marcus Mariota in a couple of years, but, you know, he but as far as offensive philosophy, there ain't going to be much change.
Did anything that happened in the NFC North over the weekend change your perspective about the season for the Bears?
Yeah, you know what? Detroit. I thought the wheels would come on, particularly when Minnesota jumped out by 10. I said, okay, the Hutchinson. I mean, you realize Detroit's got five of their defensive linemen on IR, five guys. And so I was convinced that Detroit would take a step back, and particularly when Minnesota went up on them by 10. And for them to come back and win that damn game, they're, you know, Jared Goff, God, I mean, it's
He's had like three or four incompletions in the last several games.
This is the most bizarre stat. So in the last four games, they have scored 18 offensive touchdowns, and they have 16 incompletions.
Jeez. I mean, and think about this. I was talking with Tony Wise about this because when we played teams that were big pressure teams with great guys up front, in fact, it was the Vikings. When they had John Randall and all those guys back in the day, you couldn't run play action pass very effectively because those guys were in the damn backfield. Yeah. You know what I mean? They weren't caring if you handed the ball off or not. And so I was convinced with the pressure that Minnesota brings with Brian Flores, I said, and what does Detroit do best? The best thing they do is play action pass. So I says, that's going to screw up their passing game. This is advantage Minnesota. I mean, I was totally wrong on that one. Wow. I mean, it was never a factor. Yep.
Can you believe the Bears have a day off? And
what's the spread on this game? I didn't even look.
The Bears by one.
Bears are favored.
This game, the Bears favored by a point.
Right now.
Washington. Yeah.
It may change depending on availability, and injury
reports.
You've got
to see how the secondary looks and whether Brisker can come back.
That's big.
And the quarterback, right?
I mean, Tyler Gordon. Yeah. Well, he's at this point, we'll see him.
We thought he wasn't going to play until you told us he would.
We were kind of
well,
convinced.
I'm just basing it off his mother.
This segment with Dave Wannstedt.
Moms know more, trust me. Moms know more than head coaches. Trust me on that one. No.
This segment with Dave Wannstedt, sponsored by ChicagoRoofingContractors.org, providing all-weather protection for your business. Really? You would trust the mom over the
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
His coaches lie?
Yes. Yes.
Don't believe anything that comes out of Dan Quinn's mouth the rest of the week.
No. Nothing. Nothing.
I like that.
He's not going to let the Bears.
How about Matt Eberflus? When he talks about, we know Jaquan Brisker is in concussion protocol, but when he talks about Kyler Gordon dealing with a hamstring, working through a hamstring.
Yeah, okay. He's working through it. They probably don't know. That's like Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn wants to see him on the field, making the throws, right? Tucking it and running, doing what he's got to do.
I seem to remember a certain Bears cornerback, Danelle Wolford, who had a hamstring for about
2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you had him on the injured list.
He never wanted to practice. Well, the guy had so much talent. He had as much talent as any corner that I've ever coached.
He could not play.
Woody.
And he was still Woody.
Love Woody.
Yeah. I remember, and then Brian Cox said something along the lines of, you know, we got a guy who's been on the injured list for 16 weeks. And then Woody said, he's questioning my credibility.
Woody came up to me we were getting ready to play the Eagles up there in the old vet. And he tweaked his hamstring. I think it was warm-ups. Because he came up to me and says, Coach, we got to do something about this AstroTurf. And it's, you know, I'm looking at the clock and it's like 10, 9, getting ready to kick off. I said, Woody, that's the discussion for another day. So we got to go cover whoever they had. Whoever. Oh, God.
What'd you think of the Packers with Jordan Love? Looking good, but throwing the ball a little more carelessly than he probably would like.
I think that's Jordan Love.
Got a little Favre in him?
From day one, if he's not getting those big passes, he gets frustrated quick. Don't give him the big pass. Make him throw the ball underneath. That is the key to me. And he'll throw you a couple because he's going to force them down the field. He wants the big play. No, but that was a heck of a win by them. God, they come back and win that game. I mean, Houston's a heck of a team. They really are. Yeah. And that was a good win for the Packers. This, you know, our division is not going to, you know, that's why we gotta bank these next three. We got to win these next three games. We got to get as many wins as we can before November 19th when we play the Packers and start our division run. These next three games are critical.
Cardinals beat Jim Harbaugh last night.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be a slouch.
No, and in Seattle, what did Seattle do to whoever they played?
Falcons. They Falcons. Beat the Falcons. Yeah.
And then San Francisco just has tons of injuries.
Yeah, yeah, San Francisco. That's
still on your schedule.
That hurt me. That hurt me on my little...
on your picks?
On my coach's picks.
you picked the 49ers over the Chiefs?
I took the 49ers.
What are you thinking, Dave?
I took the 49ers. Okay, yes, I did.
Mahomes kid can't play, according to Dave.
You talk about a defensive football team. Steve Spagnuolo has done a terrific job making that team into defense first.
Yeah, but you know, my big bet, well, I was all over Philadelphia. I knew the Barkley going back there. I said,
yeah. Yeah, he was great.
He was
the best player on the field.
170 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the help that defense had, like, eight sacks.
He could have gotten a career high. They offered him to go back in the game, and he said he was okay.
Hey, you know, how about Justin Fields not getting in? And, I mean, we were all ready for a package with
that's
him.
That's why Mike Tomlin makes the big bucks. He'll tell you that.
Never going to get that draft pick, Dave.
Well, they got
to start playing the kid.
They got down there on the red zone. They got down there in the red zone. I'm watching the game. I'm saying, okay, now here comes Justin Fields.
Thought so, yeah.
Right, quarterback run. And even on a sneak, they run a sneak on the goal line with Russell Wilson.
Why do you think they didn't do that?
I don't know.
I can't imagine Russell Wilson would like to come out of the game in those circumstances. So maybe
I can't imagine he'd like to do a short yardage play in those circumstances either.
Yeah, right. Probably not a good sneak
exactly.
guy.
Exactly. No, he. That's not
what
his.
What do you think they do moving forward? Because they did struggle in the red zone. They scored 37 points or whatever, but still.
A couple of those passes, you know, I mean, bouncing up in the air. I mean, at one point, you know, no. I had the Jets, too, by the way. You can tell the way I'm talking.
Oh, boy, the Jets. That's
they're a talented team. God, would you like to coach that team? I mean, think about it.
It's a mess.
Receivers, the running
if
backs,
if you coach
star,
that team, it means you have to work for that owner. Would you want to work for that owner?
But the schedule they have is going to keep them in the season. Hassan Reddick comes back. They play the Patriots next. That's a get-well game.
They better get well in a hurry.
What do you think about your head coach calling his team soft? How's he ever going to get that locker room back?
That's over.
I missed that one. Who said that?
Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
Called the Patriots soft. Our team's soft.
Yeah.
Bad things happen in London.
Yeah. They do.
People say stuff.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's a mess. The Jets are a mess, though. I wouldn't invest any hope
really?
In the Jets.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really?
No, I'm not investing anything in him anymore, but I'm done with that part.
They probably beat the Tin Man team.
Yeah.
Right? No heart. Dave, you're the best.
Thanks, Dave,
for coming
all right,
in.
Guys,
as always, we appreciate it.
Hey, we haven't. Fun. You know what? Dustin hadn't said a word about Notre Dame football.
He's living in shame.
But overall, has Notre Dame, for one loss... you know what?
They're 12th in the country.
I know. No one's talking Notre Dame. I mean, they're a playoff team. I like Notre Dame. I think
Since the Northern Illinois loss, we've lost.
Hasn't it gone quiet?
He's gone quiet.
They've got Navy. They've got Navy out in New York this weekend.
I mean, that's extraordinary.
Navy.
Army and Navy. Navy's and Army
are
the unbeaten.
I know Army and Navy are unbeaten. Coach, are you serious?
Yes.
11 a.m. kick. Get that bet in early.
The option's tough to stop, Dave.
Did you say get that bet in?
I know all about the option. We played Oklahoma for the national championship. I know.
Oh, sorry.
Check those stats.
I'll check those stats.
Okay, I'll see you.
You're the best, Dave. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I see that the offenses are different from, you know, his college offense to the pro offense for sure. There's more, I think, more reading for him in the run game than he had in college, it looked like to me. But again, they just really do a good job of enhancing and looking at his skill set, which is throwing the ball down the field. He does that really well. And he's been able to get some really good chunk plays. Their whole offense has during the course of these first games.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach. Interesting to hear his take on Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, because he's evaluated the tape and he's watched it closely. He had the bye week to study it a little bit more, anticipating Jaden Daniels would play, maybe still anticipating that despite the rib injury. Dave thinks he's going to play. I'm a little more skeptical. We'll wait and see. But it can't be overstated how good Jaden Daniels has been. You look around the league, and we talk about Jared Goff and the crazy numbers and the MVP, like, showing the last 3 weeks specifically. Yeah. Lamar Jackson is having an MVP-like season. Joe Burrow has been as good as advertised. Josh Allen has been very good. But Jaden Daniels is he's a guy that has to be included when you talk about the top five quarterbacks so far this season. I think he's in that group. He may be just right there on the periphery. Molly, he's got the numbers. He's been dynamic, and they're winning.
So explain then why the Bears didn't make the wrong choice. And I know you don't believe they made the wrong choice. I don't actually believe.
It's a fair question because it'll come up this week. I think two things can be true. Jaden Daniels is off to a better start to his career. I think when you project out in terms of the potential, both guys could have successful careers. I still believe that Caleb Williams is a more his future is easier to predict and project in terms of consistent stardom. I think he's more of the type and style of a quarterback that you can win with and because of in the NFL. Jaden Daniels, frankly, concerns me because of what we're seeing this week. His durability issue, because he is a runner. He's a dynamic runner. He is an accurate thrower. I don't think there's a bad choice among them, but I still believe that Caleb Williams was the better one. Even though the last three games have been comparable to Jaden Daniels, but the first three games make it easy to conclude that Jaden Daniels is off to a better start to his NFL career.
Yeah, I just wonder why. I wonder if they got up and running easier because of the style of offense they played with the style.
Don't you think so?
Well, it clearly is.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be. It's been an easier.
It's taken the Bears longer to grow into their star quarterback than it did Washington.
Now, I think Washington has done simple better, to borrow a Joe Maddenism, because if you look at the way they play, they aren't trying to get too cute. They're not trying to be too complicated. They're just asking him to do things that he did well at LSU and Arizona State and take advantage of his skill set. And as a result, also, Mully, I think that it can't be overlooked that their offensive line is better. Would you agree with that based on what we've seen, the metrics that measure this
kind of thing? I mean, listen, like take that sentence and compare, I don't know, 25 teams in the NFL to the Bears.
But they're not playing. Yeah, I know. But they're not playing 25 teams.
My point is simply that the Bears offensive line is not going to rank very highly.
No doubt.
Regardless of who you're comparing.
But that's part of the comparison when you're talking about why Jaden Daniels is off to a better start. His offensive line was more equipped to handle the NFL season than the Bears was early on.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And so Caleb Williams had to overcome that as well. As much as the adaptation to everything that comes with being an NFL rookie, he also was running for his life behind an offensive line that wasn't protecting him.
Yeah. I still don't know the answer to the dilemma of the Bears offensive line. Whether you look at that group and you say, well, they have answered X, X, and X. I just wonder if there needs to be a complete revival of that. There are some guys you can live with. There are some guys that you probably need to improve. There might be more improvement needed than figuring out a way to live with it.
Every spot kind of has a different explanation,
yes.
Right? Nate Davis has been a colossal disappointment. He was a free agent miss. Yes. Tevin Jenkins has not stayed healthy enough to be as dominant as he could be. Coleman Shelton, hit or miss, but maybe an overestimation of his ability when you brought him here.
He was signed as a backup to another guy.
Who is injured. So they have health issues along the offensive line. Yes. Then their tackles are okay, but maybe they have overestimated their value, Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright. So there's a lot of factors that contribute to an overall slowly developing offensive line.
Yeah.
And by slowly developing, I mean inconsistent. And that inconsistent offensive lines are trouble for rookie quarterbacks.
But the thing about offensive lines, generally speaking, is that it is sort of a team within a team. And if you get five good players, they can figure out a way to play together. And if you get enough decent players, you can fill and fix, and you can figure out a way to work with a group and have success, even if it's not overpowering. So the Bears have gone with bigger as opposed to more athletic at one of the guard positions, and they found a guy in Bill Murray who's a good enough backup that you feel comfortable being able to move a guy who was an athletic player who's been a disappointment basically out of the picture completely.
Yeah, but you look at the way that's a good point, and it also is a good point of comparison because where the Bears are using relative journeymen with Bill Murray and Matt Pryor to plug and play, the Commanders, you look at, they went out and they signed Nick Allegretti. They got Wiley. They got guys from winning organizations in free agency.
Yes.
So they spend and they upgrade. What the Bears did is they're patching here and there.
Right.
So there's a big difference in the overall approach.
Yes.
And also the overall success
rate.
Wouldn't
Nick Allegretti have looked good on
this
offensive line?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I don't understand why.
Local guy, comes from a winning organization, was motivated to want to sign and look here.
Yeah.
And the Bears had a need that existed. They overestimated what Nate Davis was going to give them, and it hasn't given him much.
Mm-hmm.
Now Matt Eberflus is answering questions about trading Nate Davis. That's how bad it's gotten with that guy.
Well, and I mean, think about that. If you have a player who has failed to the point where you've called him out not once but twice at the podium as the head coach,
mm-hmm.
and now he is not even active on game day, what are you going to trade him for on a $10 million salary? What exactly are you getting in return there?
Teams will
wait for you to pull the plug on him and then pick him up and do whatever they
want. What you're not getting
with.
In return there is a phone call.
Yeah.
Nobody's calling you back if you're calling about trading Nate Davis, because that is a sunk cost for the Bears, and I don't think anybody wants to absorb that salary hit and maybe take on a guy that has a lot of baggage.
I'm wondering, okay, so Deshaun Watson got hurt, and the storyline was the number of players kind of defending him versus the fans that were cheered when he was injured. And, you know, I can understand why that offends so many and why people are upset about it. LeBron, the latest person to come out, told the people of Cleveland that you got to be better than that. I understand all of it. I think the time to boo Deshaun Watson was the minute they signed him. They should have booed. The fans should have been up in arms, but they waited until he failed, and then you start booing about it. I'm just wondering, David, how do you handle that situation moving forward? They owe him roughly 40 at the end of this season. They will owe him $46 million over the next 3 years. Can you conceivably pull the plug on that, take the cap devastation, and move on with your program? Or do you just put up with it and try to figure out a way to keep him as your starter because you've invested so much in him? What now, I guess, is my question.
Well, a once capable NFL quarterback that you gave up a lot to get, knowing what was coming with the player, you brought in all the baggage from Houston. This was no secret to anybody there. So you are stuck with this situation. But to wipe yourself, wipe everything clean, and to start over is probably the best way to go now. You're going to be compromised and impaired and affected by his salary cap hits and implications, but that is just a reality you're going to have to deal with, and you're going to have to hold people accountable for putting you in that situation. Whether you fire them or you start over, you don't start over with the owner. If the owner made that decision, obviously you're going to have to. You can't fire the owner. But he needs to clean house and come to hold himself accountable. And I don't think the Browns are going anywhere until they purge themselves of the Deshaun Watson experience.
Deshaun Watson, since 2022, since coming to Cleveland, has made $137 million.
Yep.
In the same time period, I believe Patrick Mahomes has won 2 Super Bowls and made $3 million less.
Mm-hmm.
He's made more money than Mahomes.
Well,
with
there,
no impact.
There are a lot of plaintiffs that are happy about how much Deshaun Watson has made over the last several years. But that's unfortunately part of the conversation. It doesn't justify the booing. I don't think you ever want to go to a game and cheer somebody getting injured. But I do think it complicates the picture there. And the Browns, the only way to move forward would be to rinse your hands and move on.
All right. We're going to bring in Mike Florio, Mr. Pro Football Talk. We'll talk to Mike next. We should let you know the Blackhawks, the Bulls, the White Sox, they have a new home. The Chicago Sports Network. Tune in for more than 300 live games a year, plus a full lineup of Chicago-focused sports content. Learn more at chsn.com. CHSN, where Chicago comes first. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
Till we can't beat, beat!
Till we can't beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's that?
Gator! NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good. Did I read correctly that this show is now simulcast on Chicago Sports Network? Is that true?
That's
true.
That
is accurate.
You saw that, right?
I will do my best to not pick my nose and eat it like a certain quarterback did on the sideline the other night.
That'd be good, Mike. That's a good start.
who would imagine that cameras might be on a high-profile future Hall of Fame quarterback everywhere he went? There's no secret spot. There's no Spalding and Caddyshack moment where you can pick your nose and eat it when you are a future Hall of Fame quarterback on the sideline in an NFL game.
I'm sure it was somebody else's fault.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
It's the booger's fault.
It's the booger's fault.
Hey, Mike, I was heartily disappointed to read that Chris Godwin will need ankle surgery. Goodness gracious. They Mike Evans hurts his hammy, and then Godwin has that injury. It is really kind of a bad moment in Tampa.
And to see Mike Evans in agony after aggravating the hamstring injury, anybody that's had a hamstring injury knows that if he creates that kind of pain, it's a serious hamstring injury. The moderate pull feels like he got Charlie horsed. A tear really hurts. And I've never had one so bad that I was in agony like he was. So I think just based on what we saw last night, he's going to be out for a while. Godwin potentially out for the rest of the year. And an interesting debate over when to take the foot off the gas, when to concede, when to take the starters off the field. They're down 10 points with less than a minute to play. Crazier things have happened. And we drilled down on this on PFT Live today. I think that the fact that the Buccaneers failed to use their timeouts when the Lions were mismanaging the clock late in the playoff game in Detroit, that might have prompted what we saw last night. Because in the aftermath of blowing a golden opportunity to get the ball back down eight in a playoff game, Todd Bowles and the coaching staff may have decided we are never, ever, ever conceding. We are never assuming it's over. We are never taking our foot off the gas. And we saw the downside of that last night.
Mike, admit it. Did you wonder in the first half that there was something wrong with Derrick Henry? And then he comes in the second half and continues to have a great season. He has 873 yards, but I wonder what was going on. Why didn't they use him in the first half?
Well, I think that they understand strategically that the thing to do is save him for later in the game, if you can. And they did, and he went crazy in the second half after doing barely anything in the first half. So, yeah, it was weird. He had his helmet off. He wasn't involved. We kind of saw that early in the year, too. There was a period in the game against the Chiefs where he was there but not playing for a while. And it's like, how much are they going to lose this guy? And here he is through seven games on pace to set the single-season rushing record. It's one thing to say it through two or three games. Through seven games, you're pretty deep into the season. If this guy stays healthy, could he really challenge a record that we thought in today's NFL would never fall, a 40-year-old record that Adrian Peterson got close to 12 years ago? I think Derrick Henry could. And then the question becomes, who's the MVP? You get split votes between Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, and somebody else pulls the inside straight and wins it.
I'm curious, Mike, when you look at the Bears coming off their bye week and now going to Washington, and Jaden Daniels likely to play, but maybe not. He's got a – I found it curious the use of the term week to week. But I wonder, they had a bye week and then found every team ahead of them in the division. Like, that's a tough division, but everyone got to five wins with the Vikings losing their first game. What do you make – of the conference, of the division, and how good it is?
Well, it's one of the best divisions we've seen in recent years. In theory, all four teams could make the playoffs because there are three wild card spots. And I've been following the NFC North, prior to that, the NFC Central, closely since I first discovered football when I was a little kid and decided I liked the purple helmets with the white horns on them, even though I didn't know they were horns when I was a little kid. And there's always been a bad team. There's always been one of the teams that just stinks in the division. It was the Bears for a while, then it was the Lions, it was the Packers. When the Bucks were there, they used to have the Bay of Pigs game twice a year. This is the first time, top to bottom, they've all been great. And there are going to be some games as the season unfolds. You got Lions Packers coming up in a couple of weeks. There's going to be some games that are going to go a long way toward determining who that one seed is in the conference. And I have a feeling that the way it's potentially going to play out, week 18, Minnesota at Detroit, it's going to be like the last game of the regular season between the Giants and the Cowboys in 93, where the winner's the one seed, the loser's the wild card. It could be that, but the Packers and the Bears are going to have something to say about it before it gets to that point.
Mike, do you respect Gerard Mayo for calling his team soft, or do you think he lost the locker room?
I don't know that he lost the locker room, because as Devin McCourty said on today's PFT Live, he wouldn't say anything publicly that he hadn't already said to them privately. I'm more fascinated by this Shakespearean level drama that I think he's caught between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, because you got Belichick taking a shot at Mayo, but is he really taking a shot at Mayo? Is he taking a shot at Kraft? Is he taking a shot at the team generally? And it was just odd, as Devin pointed out, because he knows Belichick well, to hear Belichick say he feels bad for the players who were called soft. He said it's the first time in my life I've ever heard Bill say he ever feels bad about anything when it comes to a player. So it's here's the thing. You got to be careful as a head coach with what you say. How you deal with the media, I think, is much higher in importance on the list of things a coach does than people realize. He could talk his way out of this job if he keeps it up. And we've seen plenty of coaches fired after 1 year. I'm not saying it will happen, should happen. My point is, you got to be careful what you say, because you can stack up enough of these unfortunate comments that when we get to the end of the season, Robert Kraft says, I'm sorry, I just have to make a change.
Mike, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. He's an old-time Vikings fan dating back to the old black and blue division.
Back to the Fran Tarkenton days, yeah, followed by Tommy Kramer.
That's right.
And et cetera, et cetera. I love those uniforms, too. Yeah. Good old Chuck Foreman, the Purple People Eaters.
I called him one time, I think, to ask him a question about the Super Bowl, Fran Tarkenton, and his response was, you only call me because I lost so many.
And he was right.
That's why I called.
That's why you called.
It's Molly and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.